Welcome to Strength for Today, the preaching ministry of the Central Florida Bible Church, an independent, fundamental, non-denominational Bible church in Winter Park, seeking to proclaim the whole counsel of God, to point all to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to do all, as stated in Revelation 1:9, for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our speaker is Central Florida Bible Church's pastor, John Pereira. You may wish to have paper and pen for important information following the message. For more information regarding prior broadcasts and other sermons by Pastor John, please visit our website, www.strengthfortoday.info. That's www.strengthfortoday.info. Now, here is Pastor John proclaiming the strength for today.
Our subject today in our Strength for Today Bible broadcast is the poverty of riches. We're going to be looking at the story of the rich young ruler that is found in three of the Gospels, Luke, Matthew, and Mark. We're going to be looking at Mark's version, found in chapter 10, verses 17 through 24. Sad to say, our narrative includes a young man who met Jesus but left him sorrowful. Isn't it sad to be able to have an encounter with the Lord, have an opportunity to be saved, to meet the Lord personally while he walked the earth, and yet leave that encounter in a sad condition? Perhaps that may be the situation with some listening today in our Strength for Today Bible broadcast. You'll hear the message of the Word of God. You'll hear about the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ and His purpose for coming to earth. You'll hear the plan of salvation and how you can know you have eternal life. And yet, as this rich young ruler, you'll walk away sorrowful because you're not willing to come to the Lord Jesus Christ on his terms. Now let's take a moment to read the narrative. Mark chapter 10, beginning with verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these things have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me." And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about and said unto his disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said unto them, "Children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus looked upon them and said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible." We're going to be looking today at our Strength for Today Bible broadcast at three reasons why this man wasn't saved. Three reasons why this man left his encounter with Jesus in a sorrowful, pitiable condition. The first reason is found in verse 17. The rich man would not see his need. Now let's take a look at a few things in verse 17. It says that when Jesus was gone along the way, there came one running. You know, here was a young man that had a lot of enthusiasm. He had a lot of energy, and I believe he was sincere. He came running to Jesus. There was an earnestness in his need. He came running, and he kneeled to him. He worshiped Jesus, and he asked him, "Good Master." You know, he looked at Jesus as a religious person. He looked at Jesus as one that knew God. He looked to Jesus as one who knew the pathway of everlasting life. But you know, he did not see him as God manifested in the flesh. He saw him as a moral person. And he says here, "What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Here was a man that would not see his need. You know, the Word of God tells us that there is nothing that we can do to earn or to deserve favor with God. The Word of God tells us in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." No one can do enough to earn or merit their salvation. Well, the Word of God tells us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As a matter of fact, if we were to try to keep the law of Moses as it teaches in this passage, we must remember the words of James chapter 2 and verse 10. The Word of God says, "Whosoever shall keep the whole law and offend in one point, he is guilty of all." In the book of Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10, the Word of God reiterates once again that man cannot be good enough to get to heaven. It says, "As many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things that are written in the book of the law to do them." The first reason why this man never came to Christ was because he would not see his need. I ask you today, on the Strength for Today Bible broadcast, do you see your need? Do you realize that without the righteousness of Jesus Christ and His precious shed blood on your behalf, you have no hope of eternal life? Christianity does not begin with the word "do." It begins with the word "done." And salvation is understanding that it is what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary that saves us. Oh, he would not see his need. But notice also, the Word of God gives us an indication, a second reason why this man was never saved. Not only would he not see his need, he would not see his sin. Notice it says, "Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." In other words, if we're going to be saved, we must realize that Jesus alone was the one who could meet the righteous standard of God, because Jesus Christ was God manifested in the flesh himself. Jesus Christ needed to be divine. He must have been divine. He must have been sinless in order to be that sacrifice that God could accept. That's why in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 it says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. The word Lord describes his deity, his divinity. He was the God-man, Lord, yes, divine. He was Jesus, the Savior. And the Word of God says, believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then in verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This rich young ruler needed to take his eyes off of himself. Here this man thought that he was something special before God and had the favor of God upon his life. After all, this was a self-made man. In the Jewish Semitic culture, very rarely did you see someone who was rich and young at the same time, because it took time to accumulate wealth. And then also, he was young and he was a ruler. Very rarely would you see a young person with any type of oversight or rulership. Here was a man that had it all. He was a self-made man, but he would not see his sin and he would not see his need. But you must realize that if we're going to know Jesus Christ as Savior, we must realize that we are lost and we are destitute before an all-holy God. The Lord quotes the commandments in beginning with verse 19. The very thing that this rich young ruler was taking shelter in, thinking that he had met the commandments, Jesus begins to now use the very measuring rod that this young man is using, and he shows him that he has fallen short even of his own measurement, his own estimation. Jesus said, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. And then he includes a phrase that is not found in the other gospel accounts. He says, defraud not. Could it be that Jesus knew something about how this young man had acquired his wealth? Perhaps by defrauding others. And then he continues and he says, honor thy father and mother. And notice in verse 20, he would not see his sin. He says, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. He thought that he had arrived at the realm of sinless perfection. But you know, the Word of God warns us against that concept. The Word of God says in 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Jesus wielded the law as a mirror to show the sin in his life. And the law was intended to be our schoolmaster, our tutor, to bring us to Christ so that we might realize that he alone is good. And Jesus, by asking that question, why callest thou me good? He's evaluating the sincerity of this young man and looking into his heart, because here is a man who is not looking to the righteousness of Jesus, but rather to his own self-righteousness, which falls pitifully short of what God demands. He would not see his need, and he would not see his sin. But now I want you to notice, in verses 21 and following, thirdly, he was not saved because he would not trust in Jesus alone. In verse 21, Jesus looks at this young man And it says, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. You see, if you really love someone, you're going to tell them the truth. There's a movement today in evangelical circles that teaches that true biblical love de-emphasizes doctrine. And that if we love one another, we're going to put away our doctrine and get together on the lowest common denominator of biblical truth. And that truth is optional. Love is what's important. No, the Word of God says here, Jesus loved him, and he loved him enough to give him the truth. In 2 John 6, it says, this is love, that we walk after his commandments. We're going to give people the truth so that they can walk after the instruction of the Word of God. In 1 John 5:3, it says, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Oh, if we love someone, we'll give them the truth of God's Word. We'll not modify God's Word. We'll not cut the corners of God's Word. We'll love enough to tell the truth. And notice, Jesus says, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up thy cross, and follow me. Now, is Jesus teaching here that philanthropy and philanthropic activity is enough to make your way to heaven and to give and provide eternal life? Is Jesus teaching salvation by works? Of course not. What he is doing is using the very law that this young man thought he was keeping, and he was using it to demonstrate that indeed he had not. You see, in verse 24, when Jesus met with his disciples, Jesus said, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? The reason why Jesus said, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, was because he knew that this man was trusting in his riches, verse 24. And Jesus cut to the chase of the matter and demonstrated to him that even using his own template, his own measure, his own standard of righteousness, he was falling miserably short, for he was trusting not in Jesus alone, but he was trusting in his own riches. Isn't it sad that when you read the gospel narratives of all of those that had contact with Jesus, the woman at the well of John chapter 4, after her encounter with Jesus and her hearing the truth of God's Word, she left her water pot and with great joy went out to tell others the good news. Even the woman taken in adultery came to Jesus and left a forgiven woman. The man born blind in John chapter 9 had an encounter with Jesus and worshiped him. But here is a man that left the Savior sad. Is that going to be your situation today? Are you going to hear the Word of God, God's precious plan of salvation? Hearing the fact that there's nothing that you can do to earn or merit your salvation? You must come to Jesus Christ, repent of your sinfulness, repent of your wrongdoing, and see Jesus Christ as the only one sent by God, who shed his blood on the cross of Calvary that you might have everlasting life. Some of you listening to these words might say, yes, but Pastor John, that's just too simple. It's just too simple. There needs to be something that I need to do. But you know, the point is, man trying to earn his salvation, it's impossible. It cannot be done. That's why Jesus made the statement, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible." As you listen to our radio broadcast this day, do you see your need for receiving Christ? Do you see your sin as condemning your soul before an all-righteous God? Then thirdly, trust in Jesus Christ. Call upon His name. Pray this sinner's prayer. Mean it from your heart. I'll pray this prayer, and in your heart repeat it after me in your heart, and call upon the name of the Lord. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and that I'm lost. I know that I cannot earn my salvation, but I come to You alone, You who are able to save me by Your precious blood shed on Calvary for my sins. I repent of my sins and call upon You. Come into my heart and save me. Change my life. I place my life in Your hands. Help me to serve You and to live for You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've prayed that sinner's prayer, I would invite you to contact us at the important information that will be given out at the end of our broadcast. And let me encourage you, those of you that know Christ as Savior, you may be seeking a church home that preaches the Word of God without fear or compromise, the whole counsel of God. I would invite you to come and visit us at Central Florida Bible Church. You'll find the Word of God preached, a joyful band of believers that love and serve the Lord, and an opportunity to use your spiritual gifts for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless you, my beloved. The best is yet to come.
Thank you for tuning in to Strength for Today, the radio preaching ministry of the Central Florida Bible Church that meets in the Goldenrod Station, located in Winter Park, just 3 traffic lights east of Cimarron Boulevard at the intersection of Aloma and Palmetto. For more information about Central Florida Bible Church, to comment on the broadcast, to request a complimentary copy of today's message, or to listen to some of the other 500 messages by Pastor John, please visit our website, www.strengthfortoday.info. That's www.strengthfortoday.info. Or you may call Pastor John Pereira at 407-656-9683. That's 407-656-9683. This is Charles Schaeff inviting you to come and worship with us tomorrow at the 10 a.m. Bible study classes for all ages and the 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. preaching services. Our prayer service is Wednesday at 7 p.m. May the Lord richly bless you as you go forth to serve Him.